Would you introduce yourself, please?
Yes. Hello, my name is Van, and I'm from a band called Catfish and the Bottlemen from the north of England.
You are, and yes, in the north. You know, I've had to teach more people what Northern Soul is over the years. Nobody knows here.
Northern Soul, I know. Well, our guitar tech's mum and dad, they still go to all the Northern Soul dudes.
Really?
Like, they go up on scooter rallies and, like, yeah, it's just like, you know, classic, you know, old school music with people dancing, where people used to go and throw talk down. People didn't even used to drink.
You know what it really is? It's really all the dud Motown and Stax songs that never made it here. That DJs flipped over and said, we're gonna make them happen. Yeah, exactly. The Tamla Motowns.
Yeah.
Okay, so I like revisionist history because everybody covers the same stuff. So I'm going to throw a bunch of stuff that we already know. There's Chester. Somebody got run over by a van, which is very, very sad to me. This band's been around a while. You guys, was it 14?
Yeah.
Because you're 21, right? If you turn 22, you just turned 22, right?
Yeah.
So people are like, oh, it's the new band on the scene.
Yeah, man.
Not the new band on the scene.
No, man. It was like, we've been around 8 years, you know, before, like it was 7 years before we got a record deal. So when people say to us, you know, you've exploded overnight kind of thing, we're always like, well, it took us 8 years to explode overnight. Do you know what I mean? So that's the kind of thing, really. So yeah, it's been a graft, mate. And we're from, you know, like, we're working class kids. We had nothing. We came and we got in a van. We bought our own van and we lived in a van like for 5 days a week. And we used to play covers from Monday to Friday in like bars to get our money and then go out with Catfish and the Bottlemen on the weekend.
Because I was standing outside waiting for your tour manager to come, I heard a killer cover there.
Was it Strokes or Beatles?
Yeah.
Was it the Beatles?
Yeah.
Oh, was it? Oh, we just make it up. Like, someone will start playing it.
Yeah,
and then
but my point is, and this is what I want people to understand. You know, everybody's just like, oh, new band, new band, new band.
Yeah.
I'm listening to you. You're doing sound check. You're fooling. I mean, you're not fooling around, but, you know, you're not on. You don't mess around. You take this all seriously no matter what you're doing.
Yeah, totally. Like, it's...
Even when you're playing, you're playing.
Yeah. Like, all the time, man. Like, you've got... Well, at the same time, you know, we take it like really seriously. We make sure everything's spot on. We're like all perfectionists, and we're grafters. We're all grafters, and but that makes us enjoy it more. Do you know what I mean? So we get a buzz off that. So like, this more we take it really serious, we go in and we smash the gigs. But the more serious you take it, the more less serious it becomes. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? So we go on thinking, right, we want to tear the roof off this place tonight. Everybody, you're gonna blow the place up. And we all look at each other and we're like, let's go smash it. And then as soon as we start playing, if we're smashing it, we look at each other and we go, yes, it's on now. You know, like, so.
And that's okay. It is okay. You see, that's the thing about rock and roll that everybody worries about. It's okay to know you're smashing it.
Yeah.
It's really okay. It's allowed.
Well, it's like we know when we're not and we know when we are. You know, like we know when we can be our best and we know when we're 50% or, you know, 90% even. So like, yeah, you do know. It's just, you know, it's just the best. But it's just music. Just music, and we try and give people more than that. All we want to do is give people a good night out, like, so that they can go home with, like, oh, come in with, and be like, walk home with the girlfriend and be like, that was one of the,
and hopefully have sex afterwards because the music was good.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but it'd be like,
doesn't hurt, right?
that's that's the best. Doesn't hurt, depends who's doing it, to be honest. But
that's a whole nother, that's interview number two.
But no, I just want people to walk away from it coming like saying, oh, that was one of the best nights of my life, man. Let's go again every time they come back into town, or with the best friends or their mums and dads, you know what I mean? Because I used to go watch gigs with my dad, you know, when I was a kid. And when I'd see him dancing and singing to people's songs, I was like, this is moving me, dad, you know what I mean? So that's the drill, really. Other than that, we're not that serious, other than that. But
okay, so all those years, right? You've had, the name has been the name since day one, since you saw the gent in Australia when you were growing up. And I'll tell the story because it's like, it was a guy, he was literally playing wine bottles and beer bottles.
Yeah.
Do you remember the songs he was playing on the wine? Was he doing covers or was he doing his original material?
It was like Christmas stuff, like at the
How
time.
Appropriate.
Yeah.
The instrument involved.
Yeah, it was like Christmas stuff at the time. But I remember he had Inspector Gadget nailed. He was classic, Inspector Gadget. And what's that, the horse one?
Oh, yeah.
He did that really good, whatever that song's called, Western tune.
So now you have this name, and people do this all the time, right? And you go through this all the time. People go, now we've got the story over with.
Yeah.
Now you go to the record company, right? And you go to get signed. Did the record company in any moment say, could you change your name to the Joneses?
The funny thing is, like, well, the record company came to us, so we'd actually go.
That was Communion.
Yeah, Communion. They give us a lifeline when you know, we had nothing. But it's the funny thing is, I wanted to change the band name to Catfish, just shorten it, because that's what everyone calls us anyway. Right, and I was like, just shorten it, because every night I go out into a pub in America and I'm like, they're like, some drunk guy's like, what are you guys called? You guys rock. And I'm like, Catfish in the Bottom. And they're like, what? Catfish in the Boob Trotters? What? And they're like, I gotta go. And then
it's an Achilles heel.
Yeah, it is. But at the same time, it's the reason, like, the radio started playing us, because Steve Lamack from BBC Radio, he only opened the email because the name was like that, like it was. And the record company love our name. We hate it. We think it's the worst, but now it's making us laugh, you know.
You see, now there's big news, right? Because nobody would suspect that. Everybody would expect the opposite, right?
It's not like you can't, you know, like, imagine telling your, you know, like, if I go back to, like, if I have a girlfriend or something, she takes me to meet her parents, and I go back and, like, what do you do? And I'm like, in her band. And they go, what's your band called? I'm like, Catfish in the Bottle, man. It sounds so, like,
really? Will you be delivering the milk this morning?
Yeah, you sound really good, you know what I mean? But, yeah, it's a weird one. It's a very weird one. But it may, you know, it makes people laugh. It makes people talk. At least it makes people talk. We've always been a band where we'd rather have it be black or white, nothing grey. We don't want people sat on the fence about it. It's either, like, straight up one end of the scale. Do you know what I mean? Like, so either you really like it or you don't like it. That's it. Like, I hate it when bands are like, when you're like, yeah, they're all right. There's no point in them being there, you know? So I think that name does that for us a bit.
This is, you know, now it's America, right? And you can win, and, you know, the newcomer award in the UK, and you sell your 300,000 records and you get your gold record. And then you cross the pond. But it's the machine that gets the hype going. So how do you ignore all of that? And do you ignore all of that?
Well, it's different. Like, well, coming over here especially is different, because you don't see or hear the hype. So you don't hear it on the radio. You know, you don't see people. You don't get people coming up to you in the street as much, you know, all that kind of thing. So you don't feel it, you know, like, but in England, you can hear it on the radio, so you can kind of predict, like, the kind of trajectory.
So you're saying that when you are called the greatest band in the world today, it's kind of like, yeah, I'm that this week, but then who's that next week?
No, well, has anybody called us the greatest band yet?
I don't know, has Zane done that or not?
Zane Lowe, no, not the greatest band in the world. I think it's only me who calls us that, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay, well, that's good too.
I think it's me and my dad. Me and my dad are the only people who think we're the greatest in the world. Our drummer thinks we nearly are.
But it is true that over there, especially the Bieber, XFM, they magnify.
Yeah, yeah, they've been so supportive of us, those stations over there. Like, everybody over here has as well, you know, like, it's mad, mate. But the hype, we're just normal lads, you know, like, we're not these kind of, like, a lot of the bands that you've probably met who've had the opportunity to come over here have probably been rich kids, because
rich or working class, it's one or the other.
Yeah, because it's hard for us to get over here, it's hard for bands to get over here, you know what I mean? It's hard enough to tour England when you come from where we're from, so.
It's hard to get the money, it's hard to get the visas.
Yeah, yeah, all that kind of thing. So the hype doesn't hit us, because we're like a band of brothers. We're, like, built upon, like, graft and 7 years in a van, living in a van, like, living, breathing it, you know what I mean? Like, writing hundreds of songs every year. Like, it's not like, this isn't like a project that's had money on it and been glamorized and sent over to America, you know what I mean? So when it's like, I hope this doesn't come across as arrogance, but, like, you know, when like, shows start selling out in LA and everyone's like, you saw, like, your first show in LA, we feel dead proud, and we feel like this like overwhelming kind of like yesterday I was nearly in tears, me, because I was so proud. But I feel like you get this. It's just more than that. You know what I mean? We feel like at the same time it's like, obviously, you know, like, that's what we've come to do. We said we were going to do this. We want to take over America. That's the plan.
Sure.
So like, you get this kind of like this feeling of like, that was going to happen. We planned it. So we don't get built up. We don't work ourselves up too much. We just stay focused, and we've got. We won't be happy until we're playing stadiums, you know.
You have a great quote. You said you made the record in 2 weeks. You did a lot of first takes, which I'm listening to the record on the way here, and I'm cranking it up, and I'm like, that was a pretty damn good sounding first take record. I love that you said the reason we spent 2 weeks making this record is because we knew when we nailed it, and we're a touring band.
Yeah, that's what we are. And, like, well, you'll see tonight when we play tonight. Like, I bet you it sounds exactly like the record. That record was cut live. I only go in and sing two takes, vocals, that's it. So, like, everything, and our drummer is the best. I think he's the best drummer in the world.
He's tight. Yeah. He's tight. I was watching it sound check.
Good, isn't he? And, like, that's just us messing about, and, like, we rehearse.
He's relaxed. He is, you know, there's some drummers that are like, he's just like, I'm doing this. I know what I'm doing. I know the songs. I'm there. I'm having fun.
He doesn't even uncurl one of his locks. You know what I mean? He's perfect.
He doesn't throw the drumsticks in the air. He doesn't throw them at the audience. He's not that kind of drummer.
No, he's just a very cool, just... tight drummer, but like we rehearsed 9 hours a day since we were 14 for like, you know, every day we weren't gigging, we were rehearsing. So we were like at selling albums. See, we used to give albums away for free, you know, like little things, like put them on car windscreens at festivals and leave a day early so that everyone had one. And you know, like if we were stuck in traffic jams, we just get out and pass them to all the people in the cars. We used to do that as promotion, like work, you know, like we really grafted for it. So like I forgot the butt of the question now. That was going somewhere good with that.
We were talking about live and, you know, being a touring band.
Sorry. So yeah, so we used to, so we're not used to selling records. We never got into it to sell albums or get number ones or get in the charts and get big trophies and all that kind of thing. We got in it to, our whole mentality as a band is to gather 100,000 people in one place, and no matter what they're into, no matter what they fight over, no matter what, anything matters, like they are all here for this one thing, like, and it's to celebrate that life affirming music on people's shoulders. Like no one cares. I think it's been too long since a band's come out and thrown those kind of gigs, those big stadium like Oasis used to, and you know, bands like that used to do that, and like rock and roll bands don't do that anymore. And in England there's a real lack of them. It's still the same bands doing it over and over. Like even Noel Gallagher's back now doing stadiums again, you know, he's going to be doing his own big festival. So it's like Oasis split up, no one really filled it, and he's just come back and done it again, you know. So there's only like really Arctic Monkeys, Radiohead, Kings of Leon, Coldplay, Oasis that can kind of do that. And I don't think any bands have really been trying to aspire to that greatness, because it's not cool, it's not considered cool. But you know, so what?
Now, is this your first South by Southwest?
Yeah.
You know what you're in for?
Yeah.
You do? Yeah. You've been forewarned.
Yeah, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go. Well, the reason I didn't say that like in an ungrateful way, like I do want to go over there, but I didn't want to do South by Southwest because it's where everyone goes, like in the industry, that's where all your lawyers go to get drunk for a week, and everyone goes to find their bands and stuff. But I was just like, I don't like that. I feel like it's like a talent competition. The thing is, I don't care for that. I always say to our management and stuff, they're like, yeah, but there'll be these here, this person here, or this TV booker there. But I was like, well, no matter what, like I don't want to go. And if they want us, they can come to us. We've banged down doors for all our lives, you know what I mean? Like, we're playing for people. Like, I hate playing in a room when there's industry at the back ticking boxes or reviewers. I just want to play to people who listen to music.
You're about to help me build a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs is the bread. Right. And then songs by other bands in between. It's not a playlist.
Right. A Grand Don't Come For Free by The Streets, the whole record. That's my favorite record. And the good thing about that for your musical sandwich will be that album is an album that is just one story. So every single song leads into the next album. You've had Mike Skinner on.
Oh, I've had Mike.
He's my hero. If you're willing to do that, I think if people are in their car, turn that up loud and listen to every single lyric. It leads every single song back to back. You've got to play them in order, though.